This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. For the first time in school history, Western Michigan University's football team is appearing in back-to-back bowl games. The Broncos will face Middle Tennessee State in the Bahamas Bowl on Christmas Eve. Last year, Western lost to Air Force in the Idaho Potato Bowl played in Boise. David Drew covers Western Michigan University sports for the Kalamazoo Gazette. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's go back a little bit to the end of the season. Western got a win over Toledo, the last regular season game at Toledo. You had written a couple columns saying it was time for the Broncos to win a big game, and then you said, hey, they did it. How important was that win at Toledo in terms of building the Western football program under P.J. Fleck?
In terms of P.J. Fleck's tenure, I think it was kind of his first signature win. He had beaten Central Michigan twice in a row now. He had played Michigan State tough twice already now, played Ohio State tough, but just hadn't quite gotten over that hump. You could argue they played Northern Illinois tough the week before the Toledo game, but still kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. In terms of building this program that we hear Coach Fleck talk a lot about, I think that was absolutely a signature win. Now you say it's the first win ever over a ranked opponent, and it was a conference opponent, but still that's kind of one of those benchmark points where you can say, okay, we've done that. And that's something that Coach Fleck talked about was, you know, we're trying to do firsts in this program. And I think doing that was a big step. And now they've got a chance, I think, to win their first bowl game coming up.
So if we look at this season and last season, Western finished 7-5 this year, 8-4 in the regular season last year. If they were to get that first bowl win in program history, they would have the same record as last season. Could you make an argument, though, that this year would be demonstrably better because the schedule is tougher with Michigan State, Ohio State, road games at Toledo and Northern Illinois?
You can absolutely make that point. And just look at the strength of schedule. We saw that before the season even started, that it was ranked 31st in the country. They play Michigan State, Ohio State, Georgia Southern on the road. And then you've got Toledo and Northern Illinois on the road. You've got the eventual MAC champion Bowling Green at home. So yeah, at the end of the day, 7-5 I think will look much better than an 8-4 record last year when you're playing Idaho and just teams that don't quite stack up with this year's schedule.
Most of the schools that were looking for new head coaches have apparently settled on someone. Of course, P.J. Fleck's future has been a topic of conversation almost since he started here because of his youth, the energy he brings, the fact that he's very media friendly. You know, if we were to sit here right now and take a guess, and let's be honest, it's probably all we can really do as we talk right now. What would you say we're looking at in terms of P.J. Fleck being at Western Michigan University?
Well, I look at the team that's coming back next year, and quite frankly, the Broncos are going to be loaded. And I think they are going to be a favorite, not only in the division, but to win the conference championship. And looking at their non-conference schedule, they've got Northwestern, they've got Illinois, I think two winnable big-time Big Ten opponents. So if we're talking double-digit wins, a MAC championship, I think it's going to be more than national media liking the idea of P.J. Fleck and his energy, and it's going to be more than some Power 5 schools, you know, looking at P.J. Fleck. I think there's going to be some legitimate interest, some attention given to P.J. Fleck next year if they can put it all together. So shelf life of P.J. Fleck being in Kalamazoo, I think the countdown clock is officially on starting next year. But with that said, he is the highest paid coach in the MAC. And while I have talked with Kathy Beauregard about his contract situation and the rumors that were out there about him getting a new one, Kathy Beauregard told me that he's not getting a new contract, but a lot more we're seeing in college football today is you're seeing outside money and booster money come into play when you're paying coaches. And that is something she brought up just last week about they're trying to find different ways, different incentives. I think the administration at WMU knows what they have in P.J. Fleck, and now that he's winning, I think they're doing everything they can to keep him as long as they can here in Kalamazoo.
I'm sure Bronco fans don't like to hear the idea that P.J. Fleck may be a candidate for other jobs. But the flip side of that is that that means Western's winning, right? I mean, if the reason we're going to stop hearing his name is if Western does not consistently go out on the field and get victories.
Well, that is kind of the MO of the Mid-American Conference. It's cradle, you know, it's a cradle of coaches, and the young coaches come in, they have success, and they move on. Matt Campbell has put together a couple of really good seasons, and he turned down a counteroffer from Toledo to become the highest paid coach in the MAC to go to Iowa State, simply because there's more opportunities. It's a Power 5 conference. I think it's almost inevitable if P.J. Fleck keeps winning that he is going to leave at some point.
So the Bahamas Bowl is a warmer climate, at least, than Western had last year when they played in Boise. What are some of the other things, though, that go into this, and how does it compare in terms of, you know, exposure and in terms of the bowl environment and those sort of things?
Well, people are going to look at the date and time and say Christmas Eve at noon and wonder, well, who's going to watch that? But in reality, if you look at the bowl schedule, it gets going this week, this coming week, and runs through New Year's. And some of these games are being played on midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And who's going to watch those games is what I have to say. I mean, a lot of people have time off, but some people are still working and doing shopping and things like that. One thing I did talk with Kathy Beauregard about is the exposure itself, and it's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be streamed online on ESPN3 across the world. So there's definitely an exposure part that comes into it. And in terms of the financial aspect and how that balances out, I think we saw last year when President Dunn really didn't hesitate at all to pay for a second charter plane to bring the marching band out to Boise, Idaho, which is not cheap, and Western Michigan ended up spending over $900,000 on that trip. So most schools take a loss on a bowl game, but for 3 hours, Western Michigan is going to be the only football game being played on Christmas Eve, and if they win, yeah, that's even more exposure for the Broncos.
So you mentioned that you think Western has a decent shot, at least, of getting the first bowl win in program history. What do you see in this matchup with Middle Tennessee State that might favor Western?
This is a really interesting matchup because looking at both teams here, they're kind of mirror images of each other. You look at kind of some of the important numbers, you look at the players and you stack them up side by side and say, oh my gosh, if these teams switch jerseys, I don't think a lot of people would really know. They have Middle Tennessee State has a redshirt freshman quarterback who is the coach's son, and everyone at Western Michigan on the team says he doesn't play like a freshman, he plays like a senior. They throw the ball around a lot. They throw it a little bit more than Western Michigan does. Talking with defensive coordinator Ed Pinkham, he said if there's maybe any opponent Western has played to relate them to, it's maybe Bowling Green. But it's not quite the same system, but they do throw it quite a bit. Western Michigan runs the ball a little bit more. So in this matchup, I think it's really going to come down to Western Michigan controlling the clock. I think you're going to see their three-headed monster in the backfield try to pound it on the ground and eat up the clock that way. But really, I see this being a close game. I do. But this is a much better matchup for Western to prepare for, especially defensively, because you're playing more of a common type of scheme. You're playing a spread and a run-and-gun type of offense as opposed to the Air Force triple option where you don't know who has the ball, and if you miss one guy, there he goes 60 yards down the field for a touchdown. So that is a better matchup for Western Michigan in that regard.
So in talking about the first that P.J. Fleck has wanted to accomplish at Western, how important would it be for the Bronco football program that they can bring a trophy back to Kalamazoo that says Bahama Bowls champion on it and put it in the case over at the football building?
I think it'd be big. And we've already seen what kind of recruiting P.J. Fleck can do in bringing in the top classes in the MAC here. But that would really, I think, kind of solidify a lot of what he's been selling recruits on, saying we're going to win championships, we're going to win, we're going to be a powerhouse in the MAC. And I think winning a bowl game, we've heard a lot of P.J. Fleck talk about changing a culture and, you know, building a culture of winning here. And I think that really would do it. I don't think it's quite on the same level as winning a MAC championship, which I think a lot more people are hungry for. And simply because there's so many more bowl games now that going to a bowl game has kind of lost a little bit of novelty. But it would be huge. When you're 0-6 all time in bowl games, getting that first one out of the way is, I think, would be just kind of a sigh of relief, not only for PJ Fleck and this program, but I think a lot of former players, alumni, and people just associated with the program saying, all right, we're off the schneid.
Let's talk about the other sports here at Western that you cover. The Western men's basketball team is going to be without Connor Tavey, who was the highest scorer returning to the team from last season. He's taking a redshirt because of an injury. So how does that change the trajectory of this season?
Well, in terms of right now, it doesn't change much because they've been playing without him for 10 games now. And I think this team is starting to kind of figure out what life without Connor Tavey is going to be like. But it is huge. Connor Tavey was their lone preseason All-MAC player. He's known around the Mid-American Conference as a guy who is a star player. And I think getting into conference play, I think it's going to come into effect. It's going to be a shorter bench. You're not going to get the same type of production down low that you would have Connor Tavey. Maybe they're going to lose a few more games because you don't have a guy at 6'6", 240 pounds, who can break the press and handle the ball and do things like that. But 10 games in, I think Western Michigan is figuring out how to win without him. And I think that's what Steve Hawkins uses a non-conference schedule for, is to get his team ready for conference play. Because the MAC has pretty much always been a one-bid team to the NCAA tournament, and it's a team that wins the conference tournament. So that's kind of how Hawkins approaches coaching. So that's kind of how I think they're going to approach this. I do think they can win without him. How much can they win? I don't know. We'll see. I think this is a team that can get to Cleveland in the MAC tournament and maybe win a game or two there. I don't see them winning the MAC championship this year, but I still think this is a pretty good team without Connor Tavey.
Western Michigan's hockey team has had a bit of a strange season, a very good start followed by an 8-game losing streak. Certainly some questions seem to be out there a little bit about Andy Murray's future with the Broncos. Kathy Beauregard has tried to tamp those down. She says that he's the coach for now and apparently into the future. So take us through that a little bit about how we found out that actually Andy Murray got a contract extension that hadn't been revealed before.
Well, there was a little bit more than a few questions about Andy Murray's future. It seemed to be increasing with every loss and every day. But Kathy Beauregard came out and said when they'd finally beat Colorado College to snap the 8-game losing streak that Andy Murray's future was never in doubt during the 8-game skid. With her coaching background, she had been through losses and tough times, so she said she understood what that was like. But the big thing to me that came out was the fact that Andy Murray got a contract extension in 2014, and it wasn't announced. And this came at a time when Andy Murray was rumored to be returning to the NHL, and other college hockey teams were using that against him in recruiting. And yet Andy Murray said he didn't want it to come across as the program being all about him. And he didn't want to be the headline, of the story about Western Michigan hockey. But I think that was a mistake. Usually you announce good things when they happen in athletics and in really any business. But Kathy Beauregard respected Andy Murray's wishes. It's been an interesting month to follow the hockey program, no doubt about it. Being outscored 40-9 in an 8-game losing streak, and this was their longest losing streak since the late 90s, 1997-98, I believe. It raised a lot of eyebrows, even on my end, because of just the way Western Michigan was playing in some of these games, and just they were being outworked and being outshot, and these just a lot of the things that the Broncos like to do to win games, they weren't doing in any shape or form. Looking at the scope of this season, I think the Broncos are going to go as far as this freshman class is going to take them. Early on this season, they got off to an undefeated start, and it was largely because of the freshmen putting up a lot of goals and points, and they got some good goaltending because of that. And then I think they hit a little bit of a freshman wall in November and weren't putting up the points, and you weren't seeing the production from the other players on the team, the upperclassmen. And against Colorado College, the freshman kind of reemerged out of nowhere. And freshman Griffin Molino had a 7-point weekend, which no matter what level of hockey you are, to do that over two games is really big. And that's why I tend to think that as far as Western is going to go this season, the freshmen are going to have to carry them.
Okay. Prediction for the Bahamas Bowl. Who wins and by how much?
I'm going to take the Broncos. I think this is a good matchup for them. I think the fact that they've gone now 2 years in a row and have so many players back, that's going to benefit them. I'm going to take the Broncos, I'll say 38-31.
All right. We'll see how that turns out. David Drew, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
David Drew covers Western Michigan University sports for the Kalamazoo Gazette. Links to some of his recent stories can be found at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.